Something's better for some reason.
Whatever you did, you did it right.
This is an interview with Hazel Armstrong at Branston, Pennsylvania, August the 3rd, 1988. Okay, Hazel, you've lived around here all your life, have you not?
In the vicinity.
All right.
Except when I was away teaching.
What were some of the different places that you lived?
Well, the one place was Browntown. That was where I was born. Carter Station.
There we are. Okay. You lived at Browntown, also known as Carter Station.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then you moved to where?
Redmond.
Okay. And later to the Branston area then?
To present location.
Okay. The family farm then here at Branston. And you got your elementary education right here at Branston?
Yes.
In the one-room schools?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or the old Branston school?
It was the old Branston school. Eunice wanted me to mention to you about what has happened to the most recent Branston school.
Oh.
It has caved in.
Oh.
She was sorry that you hadn't taken a picture of it while it was whole.
Well, I have a picture of it. I have two pictures
you?
Of it, and the roof is looking very bad
mm-hmm.
on those, but the roof is still holding.
Well,
so, yes, I do have
Well, the roof
pictures.
Has gone through now.
I see. So poor old Branston is deteriorating all the more.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's, as far as school is concerned, it's no more.
Yes, right. All right, and during that time you went back and forth to Slippery Rock to market and so forth?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, and then tell us how you became a high school student at Slippery Rock.
Well, I went to the president of the school board, who was William Morrison, to get permission to go to the Slippery Rock secondary department of the normal school for my high school. And it was with the understanding that Dad would pay the, what did they call that, fee?
It would be
the tuition?
No, it wasn't tuition.
No.
It was for that you could attend the entertainment that was offered. Can't think.
Activity fee.
Uh-huh. Activities.
Uh-huh.
And it was, as I recall, it was $10 a semester. And I found out years later that if you belong to a family of school board members, they paid for them.
Oh, dear.
So I'm sure you don't want to add that.
Well, really, I suppose there should be some benefits for putting up with what they had to put up with.
I suppose, yes, a few fringe benefits weren't all that bad.
Well, they claimed the Branston school was the worst in the circuit. They paid teachers extra to teach Branston.
Oh, uh-huh.
Really?
Well, it was a badly overcrowded school, was it not?
It was overcrowded, and then there were some that did not have respect for authority, and they they just didn't want to be trained. They went there to show their muscle. Mm-hmm. And the, now Ethel Hunt was one that this a foreign boy, I don't know why he picked on Madison Dixon, because Madison wouldn't have lifted his hand to hurt a flea. And he threw him down and he jumped on his head. And so Ethel went out to the playground and he gave her battle. And she had her rubber hose, and every time he would lift his hand, she'd crack him over the hand with the rubber hose. And she subdued him, and she weighed around 100 pounds.
Wow. Well, sink or swim, and she decided to swim.
Mm-hmm. He didn't know that she'd been brought up on a farm.
Okay, tell us a little bit about your high school education in Slippery Rock. What building were your classes in?
It was mostly in the main building.
Mm-hmm.
And the normal school teachers were our teachers in secondary.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything different? What was different? I know there were a lot of things that were different between when you were going to school there and when you were teaching. What were some of the...
Well, really, they would hand you a curriculum. You would be asked what you wanted to take. And I said that I wanted the academic. So therefore, I was the only choice I had was either Latin or French. And I chose French because I didn't want Beatrix K. Mary.
Her reputation was as being pretty tough, huh?
Yes, and the choice of French was not any better. Because there were 18 of us started freshman year, and there were 6 of us remained at the end of the year.
Wow. Who was teaching?
Miss Camel. She was a Canadian.
Oh, French-Canadian, of course.
Yes. And in our third year, there was a young chap that had graduated from the normal school several years before, and he was wanting to go on someplace else. He had already gotten his degree from Teal, and he was given permission to join the French class, and he got her number pretty quickly. And he would do things to aggravate her because he knew she couldn't do anything to him. And of course, the rest of us were kind of enjoying ourselves. And one question he asked her was, if you were in France and speak in French, would they understand you? She almost exploded on that. She says, the French I'm teaching you, They teach in France.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been taught Ilya, and she said Ilya. And you said it that way or else.
Mm-hmm. Who were some of your other teachers besides Miss Camel in French?
Well,
can you recall?
Mr. Headland. Coach Thompson.
What kind of a teacher was Coach?
Oh, he was good. And he wouldn't put up with any funny work. One time, this one star football player wasn't too good in math. And during football season, we had been kind of, we were permitted to do a little bit of coaching when he would go to the blackboard. And this one day, we didn't realize that football season was over. And coach said, told Nick which proposition to take. And Nick looked back to, after he put it on the board, he looked back to Helen McCullough and me, and we shook our heads that it wasn't right. So instead of his just adjusting here and there, he erased the whole thing. Coach said, "Now, Nick, you explain your proposition." Nick says, "It ain't right, Coach." And then he let loose with all guns. Helen and I tried to slide under the desk, but we couldn't. But he didn't say a word to us, but he said, "Those girls are just kidding you." And so after he had given Nick the dressing that he wanted to, he says, "You may be seated, Nick."
Helen McCullough, is that, was that, would that be Matt McCullough's sister?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She was of the first family. There were Pierce and Wallace and Helen. And then there was it Helen? No, what was Mildred, wasn't, and Harold. Mm-hmm. Lou McCullough's family.
I thought the name was sounding right.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the activities that you had besides your classwork?
Well,
did you have any clubs or musicals or anything?
They started some clubs, but they were broken up pretty quickly because the students were not wanting the clubs that were available. And that was the end.
I see.
Before I came into the picture, they had the two societies, the Bryant and... whatever, yes.
P-H-I-L-A-T-I-A-N or something like that.
Yes. Philatheas, I think they call them.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, what Dr. Eisenberg wanted us to do was join something that was improving our minds. And they offered a dance group, and the majority of us went to the dance group. And Dr. Eisenberg said no, because he felt that wasn't what was giving us what we should be after.
And when you say a dance group, do you mean that you did a... that you danced with each other, that kind of dancing?
It would be that kind. It would be ballroom dancing,
dancing
was what
mm-hmm.
it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we got an awful lot of our activities in gym class.
Mm-hmm.
The gym classes were really outstanding. Posture in the gym class. We played games. I didn't care which it was, I liked it. And we would climb the ropes and the swinging ladders. And one time in particular, we had a springboard it, where we would go over the horse,
mm-hmm.
and the spring had to come from us. And over vacation, they got a springboard that you got from the springboard. And I remembered the first time I tried it, my feet went straight up. I was so badly frightened.
There's no swimming, is that?
Oh, no. No, there
tennis?
Was later, and the tennis that we got was in the gym class, and then field hockey.
Basketball?
Yes. And I I was undersized, and I had quite a problem in seeing above the around the people, because they towered over me. And Jerry Matthews was center, and I was side center. And she was just ready to catch the ball, and I ran in and got the ball out of her way. And what a fooled look there was, because I didn't very often do the like of that. But, and then we had a game where you had a great big ball, and you weren't allowed to touch the ball with your hands. You sat, and you kicked the ball with your feet, and that was how you would score points. But I think maybe it was the beginning of the training for soccer or something like that. I was graduated from the high school in 23.
And you had what after that?
Normal school. And I was graduated in 25 from normal school. I took the 2-year course so that I would get out soon to make money.
Did you take more schooling after that?
Oh, yes. Then I didn't get a job when school opened in the fall, and Dad said, well, you'll go on to school, because he said, I don't want you just sitting at home. So he suggested Grove City, and I said, I don't want to go to Grove City. So it was the 13th of January of the next year, 26, that I started to teach down in the Beaver Valley. And I was there for 4.5 years. And each summer, I would go to summer school to make up the necessary credits. And 1 year, I went to Geneva College Tonight School to make up a credit. Then in 31, I was graduated from the State College.
So that would have been with a bachelor's degree at that time?
With a bachelor's degree.
Was that Bachelor of Science in
Yes.
Education?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it was Slippery Rock State Teachers College at that time.
Yes, mm-hmm. And Dr. Blaisdell would get up and say, remember, you are in college now, you're not in normal school. Did you know mm-hmm. him?
No, just by
name.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Dr. Ham.
His wife taught kindergarten.
Oh, yes. Everyone loved her. And they liked him, but he scared the wits out of you. One time, in psychology class, He explained stimulus and response. Well, I understood what he had explained, but I didn't expect what happened next. He said, any questions? No questions. He said, all right. He started down the row, the A's, and I was the fifth A, and I could tell to look at him, he was ready to explode because none of them could do anything but shake their heads at him. And I blurted out something. If he had told me to have repeated, I never could have, but I satisfied his question. Then my next encounter with him, Miss Parks, the French teacher, was called home because of the illness of her father. And Miss McKay called me into the office to see if I would take her classes for a couple of days. And I said, well, yes, except that is the day I have Dr. Hamm. She said, don't worry about that. I'll fix up an excuse for you. So I took Miss Parks' French classes, and when I took the excuse to Dr. Hamm, he said, why did they have you teach the class? Why didn't they call on someone else? I said, no one else knew as much French as I did. You know, from that time on, he didn't pick at me at all.
Well, who were some of your other teachers or professors in the college years?
Ada M. Elliott. She certainly was wonderful.
Was it she that wrote the...
Yes, she wrote the alma mater.
The alma mater.
And
Miss Easley,
the music. Miss Waller was another one I had. She was in public school music. You know, quite a number of years after she left Slippery Rock, I was up at Chautauqua, and I saw this person looking at me, and finally she motioned for me to go down to where she was, and here, that's who it was. And she was teaching summer school music up at Chautauqua for, I think it was one of the New York colleges. And she was asking me about Slippery Rock and about the people. And she said, I never will be back. Mm-hmm. And I was sorry to hear her say that because I'd always been very fond of her. Go ahead.
Was there a different feeling between the students and the town than there is now?
I don't know that there was much difference. Where the big difference came was in which group you were in the college. If you were phys ed, you were it. If you were academic, well, you're kind of a nuisance. I think that they were trying to make phys ed the idol, and everyone else was to be sacrificed at that expense. Mm-hmm.
Trying to build up the reputation of the college.
Yes.
Through sports. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where did you live? Now, when
home.
You were in high school, you lived at home.
At home.
And you went back and forth by horse and wagon?
Horse and buggy.
Horse and buggy.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And
did you the same then during the college years?
Yes.
I see.
Now, it wasn't horse and buggy when I was going to college.
Mm-hmm.
The later time in my life in the college, I was able to drive. And so I would drive.
When did you buy your first car?
What?
When did you buy your first car?
I think Dad took the first car in on a indigenous with Roy. Roy, what was his name? Oh, I can't think of his name. He had a host of kids.
Grossman.
Oh, Roy Grossman.
Yes. And
the
it was
host of kids was
fun. That's a nice way.
It was a roustabout Ford runabout. And Walter was determined that he, because he had learned on John Cheeseman's car down at the store how to drive, and he said that he wasn't going to help Ada to drive. So Ada said to me, I'm going to drive down Branchton. And she said, you come out and help me. Well, I knew if I didn't help her, she'd do it herself. So I went with her. And when she got down, she was kind of confused at the crossing. And instead of turning to go down a parallel with the railroad, she went up over the raw tracks and broke the connecting rod. Uh-huh. And she, there were a lot that came and helped to take the car off the tracks because it was about time for a train. And Walter came down with a horse, and he was the rawest boned horse you ever saw, and he put a bridle on him and his ears back under the bridle, and instead of leading him, he got on his back and rode him up the hill. So a good time was had by all.
Yes. So the fellow had to pay for repairs, I suppose.
I think Dad took care of that. Because Walter wasn't earning money, and Ada didn't have surplus either.
When you went to school, you just went to school. You didn't work or anything.
No.
Other than at home.
Other than at home.
Did you have to go to Sunday evening chapel?
Oh, it was in the morning.
Oh, I see.
And chapel, you had to attend. If you were not there, it was the same as cutting a class.
I see.
And we had good chapels. We had appreciation of art, appreciation of music, you name it, and we had it. Dr. Murphy would give his current events once a week, and everyone looked forward to Dr. Murphy's current events.
What were some of the current events?
Babe Ruth was one of the ones that he kept us informed about.
So your chapel was like an assembly program,
yes,
you might say?
And the only reason anyone objected to go was because they were told they had to.
But it wasn't a devotional.
Yes, it was devotional.
Was that also?
Oh, yes. And one time, Dr. Eisenberg laid Miss Waller out for blessed be the tie that binds. Oh, he did tear that song to pieces.
He didn't like that song.
He didn't like that song.
And that song meant a lot to me because when I was in high school, I went to Grove City. And three of the girls were killed. And for chapel, we sang that, blessed be the tie that binds. And then when I got to Slippery Rock, he just tore it to pieces.
And oh, did he ever charge over the women wearing the stockings with what were they called? clocks up the leg of the stocking. What were they called, do you remember?
The stockings?
Yes.
Knee-highs, weren't they?
No, they weren't knee-highs because it was from the ankle up to the calf of the leg. Clock. They were the clock hose.
C-L-O-C-K.
Uh-huh.
And, I never heard of that before.
Oh.
They were what, a different shade in the lower portion?
It was a decoration on the stocking.
Oh, I see. It was a little too fancy then?
It was just too suggestive.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Of what?
He never explained that. Once a year, he would read the poem in Gossip Town.
In Gossip?
A good name died in Gossip Town.
Huh. I think someplace I have a copy of that.
Well, if you do, I would like to have a copy of it.
I have a copy of the 1925 Rocket.
Yes.
And I'll look and see.
Okay, you look and see if it's there. Because I've always regretted that I didn't get a copy of it from JLE. And there was never a more inspiring teacher in the classroom than JLE Eisenberg. Even with a dry subject, he could make it alive. Even Pete Hines hated to see the semester come to an end.
Oh, yeah.
Well, is there anything else that occurs to you that was your most memorable time or most memorable person?
Well,
or most enjoyable?
When I went back for my degree, I enjoyed Miss Simpson.
What did she teach?
She taught literature.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have Miss Arnold or Miss Griffith?
Yeah, I had Miss Griffith.
Did you? Uh-huh. I did too. A lot of years later, I think.
Yes, it would be quite a number of years later. But, she was a good teacher. And it was quite a contrast to Ines McClyman's. Did you ever hear about her?
Yes. Well, I just, again, just by name.
She bawled me out one time. I never did recover.
She's pretty thorough. Huh?
The ones that were living in the dorm could come in late, and she didn't say anything to them. And I was driving from out here, and Dorothy Heinemann was riding with us, but Dorothy would come like a snail, and I would get in late, and I just couldn't take the bawlings out any longer. I didn't go to class. So Dr. Eisenberg was rounding up every person that wasn't in class, and Ada said to me, "You get into class this morning because Dr. Eisenberg is going to pick the ones up that aren't in class." So there was some project we were to do for Ms. McClyman's, and she said that it was quite important on our grade. I did little Buick Roadster. She liked it, but she gave me a D in my art. Mm. And then later, she suggested that I specialize in art, so I knew that it wasn't a case that I didn't come up to it, but it was I had cut her class too mm-hmm. often. mm-hmm. And one morning she picked up my, we were doing watercolors. I'd never had a watercolor in my hand before. And she held mine up and said, "It's plain to be seen that this person has done watercolors before." I said, "I never did, Miss McClime," and she ignored me completely. But we didn't have watercolors at home.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Driving back and forth on the winter roads to Slippery Rock, was that a bit of an adventure at times?
Yes, it was. Sometimes we would stick in the drifts over there by Hartzell's. And one winter, Coach Thompson helped us get started. We were parked close to where they were living at that time. So we had some interesting experiences.
Mm-hmm. Did the road, the Branchton Road, follow pretty generally the same route that it is today?
Pretty much, except where it comes down past our place, it went through one of our good fields. It divided, and you have noticed that one field that comes to a point. Well, that's mm-hmm. what the highway did to us.
Oh.
And they said that was no damage.
To them.
Yes.
To them was right.
Yes.
And I was so cross with this.
My grandfather had an experience like that with the road many years ago. Really, really ruined his farm. The way it cut off his barn and made the bank so steep he couldn't get his team up to the upper fields mm-hmm. at all.
Oh, and they. Mm-hmm. But if it had been to them, there would have been a big damage. The commissioners. And this one commissioner came out and he said, "Well, you don't have an itemized account." I said, "All right, I'll make you an itemized account." I itemized it, but he didn't agree with me. But some of them were really very nice to deal with. And there were some of them you knew, the ones you would vote for and the ones you would vote against.
Things haven't changed that way then.
No, that's one thing that hasn't changed much. All your classes were in the old main building then?
Yes, at that time.
Mm-hmm. And did you have gym as a required class also when you were in college?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And my senior year, now of course, when I went into the college, I was through with gym. Mm-hmm. But we had to have our senior year, we had to have 5 days a week of teaching of gym. Uh-huh. And so in our 50th anniversary, there were some of them reminiscing, and Kenny Hogg told about, he said, "We thought we were getting away without it because," he said, "we didn't need it since they were secondary." And mm-hmm. he said, just the last minute they came to them and said, "You can't graduate without it." So he and Glenn Johnson and Ralph Horseman had to take the gym with the girls.
Oh, I see.
And Kenny told, and he said, and ones from the town would come past and call us the Bloomer Girls.
I didn't know why they had to take it with the girls.
Well, that was the reason. It was the only...
But I did know they had to...
And really...
That was a story that I had been told.
They really were not to blame over it. It was that they had been told that they had met the requirements. They had for the... at that time, they had for the 3-year course. But when it came near graduation, they had to join us.
Where did you eat lunch if you came in for a day? Did you eat lunch at the school? Or did you carry it?
Sometimes I carried it, but mostly I didn't. I didn't eat from my left in the morning till I returned at night. I didn't like a packed lunch.
So you didn't eat at the school at all?
Well, I did the first 9 weeks that I ate in the dining room, and some of it was horrid.
What'd they have?
Well, burned tomato soup was one thing. Hosey Gold was very dizzy.
What was it?
Hosey Gold, one of the waiters, was very dizzy, and he spilled some of that on me, and I had to go around the rest of the day with that burned soup on me. But Hosey was a clown. He was in nature study class under, I guess it was biology, under Clay Curtis Ruff. And he was one of the ones that enjoyed irritating Clay Curtis. And so he... decided he was going to discipline Hosey. I forget what he told him he had to do. And so Hosey looked at him very earnestly, and as soon as he had his back turned enough, he nudged Mabel Dixon to look how he could snap his garter. So you see, we didn't need any extra curricular activities.
No, you made your own entertainment. I can see that. How would that gold be spelled? G-O-L-D?
G-O-U-L.
Is that G-O-U-L-D?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I forget what Hosey had done that displeased the normal school, and they shipped him home.
Oh.
But to make sure that he got home, Mr. Cook took him home and decided that he was sure this time that Hosey was home. And who was the first one to meet him on the campus but Hosey?
Where did Hosey live? In town?
I think it was up around, Conneaut Lake, up in around there.
Who were some of the other folks from the area that were in school with you?
Well, Kathleen Adams. Did you hear what happened to Kathleen, or when did she die?
Well, it's been a while. I talked to Dell's wife this summer.
Oh.
It's Dell. Yeah, some of these names there were two brothers, Bruce. Bruce?
That's Dell Adams' family.
Okay, Dell was the father.
No, Ralph was the father.
But Dell's one of the boys?
There's a Dale, and there was a
Claire,
and there was Ray, and Kathleen.
Okay, it was Dell.
I would guess it was the late 60s when Kathleen died.
Oh, really?
Because I remember that I was
co-chairman of hers for the Community Cancer Fund drive. I was in charge of residential, and she was in charge of the business contacts, I think. And I think that I had three children at that time. I think it was after Charles was born. He was born in 64.
I was thinking it was later than that.
Well, I know that I heard from Kathleen after my sister Joe died. And Joe died in 78. She went out, her brother Dale had her go out to Colorado. And she lived in an apartment building, and she enjoyed herself thoroughly, as you know she would, because she could see the funny side of everything. And Ray then became ill, and I think as nearly as I have found out that he was suffering from Alzheimer's disease.
I think that's right. I think that's what I don't even remember what the gal that I was talking to this summer. Her husband was celebrating his, they were up at the alumni day.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened, we were standing waiting for mom's picture to get taken, and the lady beside me made some comment about there was something on the back of my shirt. And she said, "You look familiar to me. Should I know you?" And, well, we knew each other. We sort of knew each other. She knew who I was. I didn't know who she was.
Well, that's been Dal Adams. Dal and Mary. You know, Mary lived on Center Street there in Slippery Rock. And